unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect Dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. Good morning again. It's good to see you all. I did it. It's good to see you all, even if virtually. So on April 8th is the day we celebrate Buddha's birthday in Soto Zen. So today I want to talk about this important event. And the thing that we need to remember in challenging times is the birth of awakening and realization. In particular, we want to consider what we bring forth in our lives, how we live in a way to support the birth of awakening. So you might notice that we have a different setup today with our rather jazzy techno-color baby Buddha statue. See this little guy? He's quite jazzy. So, I'll talk about the birth of the Buddha, and then at the end, I'm going to talk about the ceremony briefly, and talk about how you might do it at home. So on Buddha's birthday, we express our thanks for the teachings, and we could leave it at that. We could just stop there. But listening and appreciating the stories that surround this birth can be fruitful. According to tradition, Shakyamuni Buddha was born on April 8th in 566 BCE in Nepal. And scholars agree that there was probably a man born in this part of the world at that time who became a great religious leader. So, you know, that's the nugget of truth that we know. But when we listen to stories, even stories that seem preposterous, we can hear something about meaning. We can hear something about who we are. They give us an opportunity to see what that meaning is. And in this case, they encourage us to consider what Buddha is, what birth is, and how we celebrate awakening. So here's the story of Buddha's birth. Listen to this with a calm and open mind, like a child in a way. Just listen to what this says to you. In the land of the Shakya clan, a woman, Maya, the wife of a clan leader, sometimes called Queen Maya. Maya, by the way, means love. Visited a beautiful garden, Lumbini Garden. Some say she was on her way to her childhood home to give birth to her first child. Some say she simply wanted to be in a lovely flowering garden. As she walked in the garden, a flowering tree bent down to support her, and she gave birth from her side, it said. Music filled the air, blossoms rained down. Two Naga kings, Nagas are like dragons, they live under the ocean, and they protect the Dharma. Two Naga kings rained sweet water down upon the baby Buddha. And it's said that directly after birth, the baby Buddha stood up, walked 7 steps, and with each step, a lotus bloomed under his feet. The 7 steps are thought to indicate different things in different Buddhist traditions. In the Mahayana tradition, 7 steps are often considered to be the steps in the 4 directions. East, south, west, and north, and up and down. And the seventh step is the extra step, the step that cannot be categorized. the seventh step is the step of awakening. Sometimes the first six steps are thought to represent the six realms of suffering: gods, asuras, humans, animals, hungry ghosts, and hell realms. And the seventh step, again, is the step that includes them all and is not bound by them. So on this seventh step, the baby Buddha pointed his right hand to the sky and his left hand to the earth. And with the voice of a lion said, "In the heaven above and the earth below, I alone am the world-honored one. I will dispel suffering in the entire world." The Pali version says, "Immediately after birth, the Buddha stands firmly on his feet and, having taken seven strides, looks around and utters this statement in a fearless voice, the lion's roar. I alone am the world-honored one. I will dispel suffering in the entire world." So I have to tell you, when I first heard the statement, "I alone am the world-honored one," I cringed. I thought it sounded arrogant, self-righteous, superior, just one more way in which one version of reality is put above others. But that's not what it means. This is a statement that affirms the dignity of each life, of each being, of each dimension of our world. All lives are precious, each single one. So this does not praise one being over another. It affirms the potential of each being to realize the way, to embody completely the wisdom and compassion in each moment. So this is a full expression of the dignity of awakening. I think that this is very important right now. Who we are, how we remember who we are, how we wake up, to not be driven by fear, but to take firm steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven. Notice that these are called strides in the Pali Canon. They're not little tiptoes. They're not like, you know? They're strides. They're firm. They're confidently trusting the earth to hold them up. The Buddha enters the world fully. So that's what we're asked to do, to enter the world as it is, coronavirus and all. This isn't to say that we're not afraid or that we're heedless. It means we include everything. This is the seventh step. We're firmly grounded on the earth, quite practical, ordinary, each step solid and true, and we have full access to the lion's roar of awakening. We express it quite simply when we care for ourselves, when we care for others, when we live fully this moment. The I that the Buddha is referring to is not the I in opposition to others. This is important. It is the I of absolute connection. And in that moment, it is also absolutely unique. All the conditions of the world come together to make this moment, this individual, this expression of reality, and then they change. We've seen a radical change in the last few weeks, and great sadness, anxiety, stress, surprise, all of it is in the world. So we ask ourselves, what do we do? How do we practice? I think we cultivate stability, we cultivate curiosity, we express compassion, we do our best to see clearly, we take the seventh step with the baby Buddha. In other words, we wake up. The seventh step is the step that transcends the separation of I and others. The I that takes the seventh step is the I that both goes beyond and is firmly rooted in right here, right now. It is the step of realization, making real what is most true. Notice that the Buddha has a very firm statement, I will dispel the suffering of the world. This is the statement of intention, orientation, commitment to all being. The six realms, gods, asuras, humans, animals, hungry ghosts, and hell, are the world we often live in. The world in which we're propelled by delusion, or isolation, or thoughtless ways. The seventh step is a step of taking a breath and being firmly and fully of this world. Not apart from it, of it. In that moment, Buddha is born. The embodiment of awakening, wisdom, compassion comes alive in our ordinary lives. Acts of kindness, generosity, thoughtfulness, they're not different from the lofty wisdom we talk about. This all-embracing compassion, clarity, effective action, and they express a fierce allegiance to our path. This is Buddha showing up in the world. This is the fearless lion's roar of awakening. It's a creative act. Our task is to make real this lion's roar in each moment. And each moment is different. Each moment is unique. We live in unique circumstances with unique challenges. Each of our lives has specific challenges. We as human beings are constituted in different ways. So what may be a challenge for one person is not a challenge for another. So we get to know ourselves. We get to know what is the lion's roar in my life, in this circumstance. The world rejoices when we understand our true nature, when we give in this way, when we're creative and take the opportunity of this life to live with the baby Buddha and take the seventh step. The world rejoices, and in a way, there's a sigh of relief whenever the Buddha is manifest. A collective sigh of relief. Ah. Then the next moment arises, and the world reconstitutes itself again. Buddha told his disciples at the end of his life, be ye lamps unto yourselves. But he also said, hold fast to the lamp which is the Dharma. These are not two different things. We are the lamp, we are the Dharma, we are life, we are the one that holds on to it, we are the people that we care for. It's all together. When we remember who we are, we become a lamp for ourselves and for others. Esau, the great poet Esau, said, even the lowly bamboo shoots proclaims to the world, I alone am the world honored one. Even the lowly bamboo shoots proclaims to the world, I alone am the world honored one. Nothing special. Our baby Buddha may be technicolor, but we do not have to be. Just day by day, taking care of ourselves and others, take the time to pour the sweet water of Dharma into your lives. And remember that Buddha is born over and over and over again in our actions. When we feel the earth beneath our feet, when we feel Dharma supporting us, we feel our capacity to take the seventh step. And we take it. We don't dither. We don't tiptoe. We don't fritter away our precious lives. We ask each other and we ask ourselves, world honored one, what have you to teach me today? world honored one, I will take the seventh step with you. World honored one, even if I feel shaky, I will do it. Just ordinary, just simple, just kind, just awake. This is how we celebrate Buddha's birthday. This way is Buddha's birthday every day. And we have a specific ceremony that we do. So I'd like to shift gears here a little bit and talk about the ceremony. Some of you have been a part of this here when we've done it. We usually have this set up at the main altar. And it often has a canopy of flowers over it, because to symbolize that the flowers are raining down on the baby Buddha. You'll notice that our techno-Buddha, our rather psychedelic Buddha, is standing in a metal bowl, and the metal bowl has lotus. It looks like a lotus. I don't think you can see this, but this metal bowl is imprinted with lotus flowers. And we put flowers all around. Thank you very much, Sandy, for delivering all these beautiful flowers. And during this ceremony, we pour water over the baby Buddha three times. One, two, three. This is the Dharma rain of sweet dew. Suzuki Roshi said about the ceremony. He talked about the feeling of the ceremony and all the ways that we adapt the Dharma to our world. He said, "The flower shrine and altar we have right now is a very tentative thing, not a permanent one." I think this is very meaningful. This is still Suzuki Roshi. "The Soto practice is something like this always. With this spirit, we should celebrate Buddha's birthday, even though the way we celebrate is not perfect. The flower shrine and altar we have right now is a very tentative thing, not a permanent one. I think this is very meaningful. The Soto practice is something like this always. With this spirit, we should celebrate Buddha's birthday, even though the way we celebrate is not perfect. This is the spirit of caring to make real in all of our circumstances. It's not about perfection." So you can do this ceremony at home. So I'm going to do what we do here, and then I'll describe to you a little bit what you can do at home. Okay? Okay? The first thing we do, and listen to these words, just listen and see what these words evoke for you, how you might say these. You don't have to say the exact words. This is about bringing wisdom and compassion into our lives. It's about honoring the earth, honoring awakening. So we say, usually I would chant this, but I'll just say it. "On this day, 2,586 years ago, a Buddha was born in Lumbini. Today, in this great Sambhogakaya flowering mountain hall, we pay homage to Shakyamuni Buddha, the world-honored one, whose boundless teachings and infinite compassion illuminate all realms. Just as the spring sun brings light and awakening to the world." I'll read a section from Seeing the Birth Right Now. The teacher Dogen said, "Great assembly," that's you, "great assembly, do you want to see the birth of the world honored one?" Dogen held up his whisk, drew a circle, and said, "The world honored one has been born. In the entire world, in 10 directions, in mountains, rivers, and lands, all the human beings and all sentient and insentient beings, and all Buddhas in the three times and in the 10 directions, have all been born simultaneously with Gautama, the world-honored one. Not one thing is born before or after that. Drops of water do not fall in different places. What is this principle of not falling in different places? If we do not transmit the Dharma and save living beings, our practice cannot be considered to repay the kindness of Buddha. What is this principle of transmitting Dharma and repaying kindness? We will descend from the seat and together with the great assembly go to the Buddha hall and respectfully bathe the pure Dharma body of the Tathagata. So, we are now in the Buddha hall. We celebrate with deep gratitude the birth of Shakyamuni Buddha, recognizing in the heavens above and this earth below as a most revered being. We now, with this water of merit, bathe the pure Dharma body of the Tathagata. We respectfully celebrate the occasion of the birth of the great benefactor and founder of the teachings, the original master, Most Reverend Shakyamuni Buddha. We have carefully prepared incense, flowers, candles, and have extended them in offering. We have chanted the verse of bathing the Buddha and seeing the birth right now. We have bathed the baby Buddha. We offer up the excellent merit accumulated thereby in the hope that the pure blessings of the Buddha's way extend to all throughout space and time. The rain of Dharma moistened and bathed him from afar. For more than 2,000 years, the wind of merit has continued to blow. We humbly pray that the light emitted from the Buddha shall benefit coming times, and that his meritorious deeds shall profit countless beings. So, then we say, all Buddhas, 10 directions, 3 times. All beings, bodhisattvas, mahasattvas. Wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita. That's the ceremony. You can use what words you want. Feel free to use whatever you have. For the baby Buddha, you can use a waterproof statue. You can use a rock. You can use whatever has meaning for you. For the base the Buddha stands on, you can use a plate, a tea saucer, a bowl. If you have flowers, that's great. If not, you can use greens. You could even use frozen vegetables. Whatever works. I brought some show and tell, okay? This is a little cream pitcher. Could pour that. Little plate. This used to be Oksan, Suzuki Roshi's widow, was her plate. Another little bowl. Tea towels with images on them, flowers. Wrinkle them up, put them around the baby Buddha. Set it up someplace pretty, clean, welcoming, indoors, outdoors, doesn't matter, whatever. Have a candle if you've got it, if it's safe. Some lavender buds or incense, scented oil, whatever you want. Use a ladle, a teaspoon, your hands. If someone asks you why you're pouring water over a rock sitting in a tea saucer, then you can tell them you're bathing the baby Buddha. It may seem foolish. Maybe they think you're a little nuts. That's okay. When we dedicate our lives to the Dharma, it's kind of foolish. We're living lives as simple people. We can be foolish. We face our foolishness, our flaws, our imperfections, our difficulties. We see our foolishness. We engage fully. We take a risk. It's a creative act. In this ceremony, we honor wisdom and compassion and the simplicity of bringing it alive, ordinary water, not special perfumes, just our life offered up day after day, opportunity after opportunity, bringing birth to the baby Buddha. We honor awakening, we honor the earth, we honor water, we honor our capacity for the lion's roar. We honor our community. We honor the community of all beings. In this way, we give birth to awakening. Thank you very much.